There is always an untapped resource of energy that all of us hold. It's the source of all of us. It's what pounds through our hearts and our bodies and our minds, and the energy we feel when we are glowing, when we are joyful, when we are inspired by life, when we are excited. There's so much energy that comes from that, and it's not from food and it's not from healthy habits, although those things definitely help foster more energy. There is a type of spirit that can course through you, that can make you feel alive in your life. And when we're disconnected from it, it's usually because we are so depleted. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another coffee talk. Today, I made myself a blueberry matcha, a little bit of foamed oat milk, 10 out of 10. And today, I'm doing another episode in the member advice series. If you aren't sure, or this is your first time tuning into one of these episodes, I believe this is episode 4, where I ended up putting out on the community board on YouTube for the Kaylin's Coffee Talk channel a chance to send in anonymous inquiries, anonymous questions, anything you wanted advice or to talk about. And then I've been going in chronological order each episode, so I'm not picking out which ones to answer. I'm letting myself just kind of jump right into what's being thrown at me. If you guys are enjoying it, definitely let me know. You can thumbs up or rate the podcast. That always really helps me too, if you haven't done that yet. Or if you're watching the video version on YouTube, then thumbs it up and leave me a comment down below, and I will put out an opportunity again for summer if you guys want to do this again. Today, I'm actually going to do a little bit of rapid fire, not like fast advice or anything, but I feel like there's been so many, like honestly, there's probably at least 200 inputs here, which I can't obviously do 200 episodes. So I figured I would start doing a couple of these in each episode over the next few weeks. And these member advice videos at the moment are going out bi-weekly. So every other episode is a member advice. A huge thank you to Shopify for sponsoring today's Coffee Talk podcast episode. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to the other leading commerce platforms. Go to shopify.com/KCTalk now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. That again is shopify.com/KCTalk, and that's how they know it was my show that sent you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Okay, so the next piece or request for advice comes in saying,
how do you forgive your parents after years of severe trauma? It's always in the back of my mind, the memories of anger that I feel towards them. It's hard trying not to compare to others with good relationships with their moms.
So this was sent in before I did, I think it was maybe last episode or the episode before that, the motherhood and womanhood without a mom. So I would first and foremost, obviously go listen to that episode if you really want to dive deeper into just what it's like to go through it. I mean, this person specifically said with, you know, judging and comparing to other people's relationships with their moms, that episode would be a great one to listen to. I obviously also don't know what you mean by severe trauma. I can only speak from my own firsthand experience. And, you know, something my sister actually sent me recently, which is a really interesting take. Now I'm going off of memory, so bear with me here. But it was this idea that, you know, it's not really fair to ask a victim, specifically a victim of severe trauma, to forgive the perpetrator of that trauma, whether they knew they were causing trauma or not. So I'll get a little bit more personal. In my situation, If you were to ask the person that created a lot of my childhood trauma whether or not they did that, or if you were to tell them that they did that, they would deny it to the moon and back. They don't have the cognitive function to not only be aware of that patterned trauma or that passed down trauma, or that their actions and the way that those actions affected me growing up. But it goes deeper than that, and I'll leave that where that is. But just because that person, that parent, can't be aware of their effects and how it hurt me and traumatized me growing up doesn't mean, again, that I owe them my forgiveness. Now, that's not to say that I haven't forgiven said parent. I just want to say that you are fully in your right, at least in my opinion, to go the rest of your life not forgiving in the sake of like, here's what I'm trying to get at. You can let it go. There are ways to let it go. There are ways to move on with your life so you don't carry that trauma, you don't carry that baggage. There are ways to break those patterns. There are ways to heal those patterns. There are ways to learn from the trauma that was passed down to you and stop it from happening again. And also to overcome it and be a stronger person, to have more character as a human being on the planet, to have more empathy on the planet because of the things that you may have faced. But that doesn't mean that you have to forgive and basically wipe clean the responsibility of the person that caused that trauma, no matter what situation you were in. Now, is it worth forgiving? I think that really depends on what we would all describe or define as forgiveness and what that would entail. So for me, I would say that I have chosen to forgive but not forget. I have forgiven for my own personal reasons, and it's not something that I say or would say everyone should do. So that's why I'm putting that disclaimer first before I explain my own situation. I forgave for an apology that I know I'll never get, because I am somebody that when I experience something, specifically something that either greatly affects me or greatly confuses me, I cannot and will not let go until I understand. And it can be a, you know, a kind of a crutch sometimes, but actually it's served me really well in life. And the reason why is because it has pushed me to very, very deep depths of understanding human behavior, of understanding things like passed down abuse and trauma, and things like, you know, the human, like our human tendencies, why we do the things we do, the ways that we attach, the ways that we are unhealed, the ways that we can psychologically or mentally carry mental illnesses or so many wounds. You know, it's really pushed me to be very curious about those things, because once I got past the part of my life, which was a long part, by the way, where I stopped blaming myself for the love that I didn't receive and for the support that I didn't have, then I was able to get curious about why that support and why that love wasn't given, knowing it wasn't my fault. And when I was able to get curious, I was able to bring that understanding and that empathy to a place of like, wow, I sympathize. Again, it doesn't make what happened okay, but it does allow me to let go. It allows me to understand, oh, this was never about me. I was set up to fail in that relationship no matter what, because it had nothing to do with me. You know, I came into the world to a parent that didn't have the resources within themselves, not only to love or care externally, but weren't able to do that and hadn't been doing that internally. So the shortchange externally was even more grotesque. It was even more heavily felt and had more repercussions. And that wasn't my fault. But again, it came down to like, how can I understand why and why that happened? And that's where my forgiveness came from. Almost like, I forgive you for the choices you made based on the trauma you faced. The thing that gets a little complicated, especially when it comes to our parents, is even when you can understand their history or their past that may have created the scenarios that may have led to the choices that they made that may have hurt you, the complicated part with forgiveness is when you forgive somebody and then they do something again, and then you forgive them and they do it again, at what point do you stop forgiving? So I was able to forgive my childhood, okay? But when it comes to my adulthood, and furthermore, the lives of my children now and the lack of that figure. This is where forgiveness definitely gets tricky. I don't have the answers. All I know is that I can tell you that safe and healthy boundaries that keep me from putting myself out, burning myself out, or leading myself to very well-known and expected disappointment is the best route that I have found. It's like, okay, yeah, you know what? You didn't show up for me then, but you're also still not doing it now. It's like, I've forgiven you for those things, but you're still not making the efforts to become healthier, to heal so that you can be there. You know, I find that most of us don't expect perfection out of the people we love. We just expect effort and honesty and authenticity. And again, when it comes down to like, if someone can't be real with themselves about what they're truly feeling, facing, dealing with, and their harbored trauma, then they can't really heal it. And if they can't heal it, then they can't make better choices. So when you're aware of that pattern, when you're aware of that being the reality of a situation, again, regardless of whose relationship it is, you then have to set your boundaries. You don't have to forgive someone that continuously hurts you. You have to put up a boundary that says, okay, well, then this is how much space you're allowed to take up in my life, how much time you're allowed to take up in my life. It's okay if it's very small. It's okay if it's not routine, if it's not a lot, because that is a repercussion of their choice. Like, you can forgive for the history, but you can't forgive for the present if it continues to repeat itself. And boundaries are the answer. Yeah, you don't have to forgive. It took me a lot of therapy to work through my childhood trauma, but that was what got me to the place where I was able to let go and to understand and move on with my life without carrying that anger and those memories forward. Little sip break, and then let's go into the next question. A huge thank you to Shopify for sponsoring today's Coffee Talk podcast episode. As many of you might know, I actually use Shopify still currently for my storefront and my blog, and I've used it for many years. Shopify grew with me as I continued to grow and rebrand, and I still have my Shopify site waiting right now for when I'm ready to relaunch under whatever it is I do next. And that's my favorite thing about Shopify, is it's so versatile, it's so easy to use. So if you have a talent, or if you create something, or even if you run a blog and you might eventually want to sell a mug or sell a sweater, then Shopify is the easiest place to do so. It's so user-friendly. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. So whether you're in the launch your online shop stage or the first real life store stage, all the way to the we just hit 1 million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. So whether you're selling scented soap or candles, or maybe you want to create your own books or your own Oracle reading decks, Shopify can help you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to the other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify's award-winning help is also there to help support you and your success every single step of the way. I can't tell you how many times I had to reach out to Shopify just to ask a question or to clarify something my accountant was looking for, and they always made it so easy. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/kctalk. All lowercase. That again is shopify.com/kctalk, and that's how they know it was my show that sent you. So this is a more of a parenting question. It says,
how to deal with your kids' food from a vegan mom and an omnivore boyfriend.
I am plant-based. My fiance is not. So I understand why you came to me with this question. Please again note that I am not obviously medically or clinically, you know, what's the word, certified to be giving any kind of food or nutrition advice. But I'll tell you what I do. I'll tell you what works for me. I am, and it is very important for me to live by the value system of what guides my heart. And that has always led me from a very young age to not eat meat. It's not that I necessarily think meat is unhealthy, although I do think that the ways that we have highly processed foods, like, and again, not even all processed food is unhealthy, but I think the ways that we've highly processed foods and altered foods again, not all altered food is unhealthy. I feel like I have to make so many disclaimers when I talk about these things, but just to say that I think all of the additives and the crap and the ways that we especially like farm, but factory farming is an atrocious practice. Highly recommend looking into it, just to see the ways that the animals are treated, but also just even like the cleanliness of it and the additives to it, just to make sure that you can get more meat, which is just like not even good quality, healthy meat. Anyway, this is all coming back to like, I choose to eat more plant-based for lots of personal reasons. And my fiance chooses to eat an omnivore diet for his own reasons. I've never been somebody to push my views or perspective of the world on other people. I think instead it's cool to have open conversations with people that are willing to be curious about why you eat the way you do or live the way you do. And then you can point them to resources or point them to things that taught you things that made you make the choices you have and let other people decide for themselves. I don't think you can ever really force anybody to practice your values or see the world the way you do. And that goes for children. So a little bit more context to my choices before I really get into it. And I think that this is important to mention is that I also have suffered from an eating disorder. And from that eating disorder, I learned a lot as well. And that also plays heavily into the ways that I parent and raise any human being on the planet, specifically villainizing food. So it's not the food that I want to harp on. I don't want to villainize any kind of food. I hate villainizing anything really, but that's a little too rose-colored for the ways of the world that and the way that it actually works. So I choose to lead even my child when he's able to start asking questions or future children. I want to show them reality and let them choose. When I'm cooking, when it's down to me, which 80, 90% of the time when it comes to the food and the meals and the things we eat in our house does come to me, and that's by choice. I love food and cooking, so I happily take on that responsibility in our family. So then from that, I choose to create a lot of varied, healthy, nutritious, plant-dense meals for both me and my fiance and my son. However, when my son is with dad and they're out doing something, I would never be like, he's not allowed to have this, he's not allowed to have that. If my son is at his grandparents' house or his papa's house, again, I'm not like, oh no, he's not allowed to eat these things. Like, I don't create rules around food. That's huge. Again, and that comes from my own history of understanding and getting into a really, really wicked place in my brain where food became very ruled and controlled. I would like to foster curiosity in my children so that they're curious about the source of the things that they use. And through that curiosity, they're led to truths that guide them in their choices in life. If my children choose to eat meat, I will never, ever make them feel poorly about it. I would, again, just always give them the resources they need to understand their choices. But I just think it's really important to not create rigid rules or villainize any kind of food. You can definitely villainize the source, you can villainize the practice, but don't villainize food. That's my rule in my house. And don't create limitations or rules and also force them on other people in the family with your child. I want my son to feel a freedom in the world and a freedom in food as a human being with autonomy. So yeah, balance and no strict rules. So the next question comes in saying,
how to find yourself again as a mom?
There's so much I could say here. There's so many ways I could go with this conversation. The first thing that pops in my mind that I'm feeling just so called to say is that becoming a mom does become a part of your identity, and that there's like literally, first of all, nothing wrong with that, but even further, it's empowering, in my opinion, to have that become part of who you are. So if you feel like you've lost yourself, please know that you are still exactly who you are. You're just a mom now. The problem with feeling like you need to find yourself again as a mom is a lot less, at least in my opinion, I think it actually boils down to being a lot less about the soul searching that we go through before we become moms. You know, when you're in your like maiden phase or your earlier 20s, you're like, I need to find myself. I need to define myself. I need to know who I am. And you go on all these like soul searchy journeys, right? I think trying to find yourself again as a mom is actually a lot more practical. It has to do with a lot more time and energy and resources rather than the soul searchy part. You've probably done a lot of the soul searching. Heck, you grew a baby or maybe adopted a baby, or who knows, whatever route you took to become a mom. You went through a huge transformational soul journey. You don't need the soul searching part. At least that would be my guess. For me, it definitely came down to like the times where I was feeling really, really lost and far out of touch from myself. It was because I hadn't had the time or the energy to just fill my basic needs and to just do a little something that made me feel good. So if you want to find yourself again as a mom, you need to say to your partner, hey, okay, I'm gonna go take an hour and I'm gonna go do something I wanna do. And you're gonna hang with the kid. And hopefully you don't have to ask for that very often. And hopefully you get a hell of a lot more than an hour. But I understand that life at some times, it's not always 50-50 cut balance, especially between two partners when you're parenting. There's going to be times where life gets hectic or busy, or maybe your partner's going through something and so you're taking on a lot. Just be aware of that. Be aware of how much time you have to yourself, how much energy you have left over for yourself, and don't be afraid to balance that out so that you do have some stuff for yourself. It's not selfish. There's a lot of like parenting guilt out there that makes you feel bad if you decide to resource or save or savor a little bit of stuff for yourself, like time, energy, putting your kids into childcare so that you can work or so that you can do some things for yourself. There's a lot of that out there. Don't feel bad. Okay. Don't do that. Don't guilt yourself for wanting something for just you or holding on to something for just you, whatever it is. If it's reading books, if it's gardening, if it's exercise, it shouldn't be. Let me just also make this quick note. Showering, getting ready, exercising, all of the basic needs, those are not the finding yourself. If you're not even getting those done, you need help. And again, I know that that's just like, well, not always so easy. Maybe you don't have the village, you don't have the community. Your partner works my partner works a very labor taxing job. Like he is very physical in his job. So when he gets home, he's exhausted. He doesn't have the energy to like do a lot of the things that, you know, I work at more of a computer job. I have more of the physical energy at the end of the day, but you got to find a routine and a rhythm that works for you with your partner or with your people, or hire your village if you have to. I've had to hire my village so that you can have a little bit more of those basic practical resources back to yourself, because odds are you know exactly who you are. You knew who you were before you had your baby. You know what things you liked, and you probably still like those things. You probably just don't have a lot of time and energy for them. So that would be my answer. You want to find yourself as a mom, give yourself back a little bit of time and energy, and the rest will fall into place. You don't have to go on a deep soul journey unless you really want to, because I do think that there is a really powerful transformation that comes when you step into motherhood that could definitely be explored. I'm still in the midst of exploring it and how it's expanded upon my identity on the planet. But if anything, the days I feel like I'm so not myself are the days that I just don't have time or energy to be myself. So that's my answer.
How to know if you want a child or if you're just not ready yet?
Oh, I don't know if I'm the perfect person to ask this, because I didn't necessarily ask this question. It was a surprise. A great gift. And I honestly I'm glad that it happened that way, because I didn't have a whole lot of time to overthink it. I can't tell you when your right time will be. I can tell you that almost everything in life is figure outable. So if you find yourself going for it, and there will be tough times, let me tell you, no matter when you choose to have a child, or even if you feel 100% ready, it'll still be hard sometimes. It's going to be hard sometimes, but you'll never, ever, ever want to go back to life before. However, the reality check that I will give, and it's only because I went into it being like, well, all right, I'm pregnant, I guess I'm doing this, is that it is a lot. It is a lot, period. It's a lot. It's a lot on your body. It's a lot on your time. It's a lot on your self-care. It's a lot on your sleep. There are things you will have to sacrifice, but there was also lots that you will gain. So I'm not just trying to like outline the bad here or outline what could be seen as the negative. I'm just trying to say that life doesn't just keep rolling, at least in my experience, like it did before. And it does take some adjustment to get used to the new life you're living, especially if you don't have a lot of people around you that are in that same space that are having children and such. It is great to make friends with people that also have kids, but also make sure that those aren't the only friends you make. Keep your palate varied, but it's just more so to say that, like, you know, things change and you will have to be very strategic with your time, your energy, and what you devote yourself to, because it takes the top spot in your devotion. And so I think the only way that to really know if you're ready or not would be to answer this basic question. And it's, is there anything you want to do first? Because if there's nothing that's jumping out at you that's like, wow, I really want to, you know, travel to this place first, or write a book first, or get this kind of certification first, or run a marathon first. Like, unless anything's really jumping out at you that's like, no, I know this is something I want to do, and it would be really, really difficult, not impossible, but difficult to do with a child or a baby or pregnant. If there's nothing that comes up for you when I ask you, is there anything you want to do first? Then just know that you probably won't ever feel more ready than you do now. And if there's nothing else that's on your list, then have fun. And if there is something you want to do, there you go. Do that thing first and then revisit the question. All right, I'm going to answer one more. That all of them that came in this little bulk section here seem to be very like parent, mothering, pregnancy focused. So that kind of worked out. The question is,
what does your day look like when it's not the best day and you need grace? I'm struggling with guilt and feeling lazy in this pregnancy because it's been super rough, but I'm also a toddler mom with a man that works most of the, and I think it says time.
Cut off for some reason. I can't open the long form of that question. So what does a day look like when you need grace because you're struggling? Well, I have really bad days, and obviously, just with what I do by nature, I'm not always going to share the like true deepest pits of those bad days. I always try and like come back around when I found my silver lining. But it is worth noting and worth sharing that we all have bad days. And in fact, I feel like in the last few years, I've never ever had to practice as much grace or struggled as much as I have. And it's interesting because I'm coming to a place in my life where I feel like things are opening up again. I'm feeling less resistance, less blocks, and more of a yes from life and more support somehow, almost like from the universe. But it's still very, very fresh in my memory because it was like not even a couple months ago. I still remember what it feels like to just feel so just down and lazy. And you know what? Let's take lazy out of there. I know that you said lazy, but girl, if you are pregnant and you have a man that works a lot of the time and you have a toddler, you are not lazy. You are tired. You are spent. You are exhausted. That is not lazy. But I know what that feeling feels like. And I know what it feels like to just have nothing left and to not, even if you could, like a good example of this, to have some open space and time and to feel zero inspiration or motivation to do anything with it. Like to even spend, if you do end up with precious time, you could do anything you want, you know, and all of these ideas come up to you when you're busy doing other things and then you finally have the time, but you don't have the energy, you don't have the focus, you don't have the inspiration, the motivation, you just end up doom scrolling or watching an old show for the 50 billionth time. This winter that just passed, I was pregnant, first trimester, felt like crap. Have a toddler and a man that works a lot. And I spent so many days just like so out of touch with myself, just watching One Tree Hill for the billionth time and doing the bare minimum. I was struggling to even wash my face. Okay. So yeah, like at the end of the day, I would wake up every day with my makeup on from the day before because I just didn't care. I stopped caring. I stopped feeling good about myself and it sucked a lot. So what do those days look like? It looks like that. What does grace look like? Let me first say time. Grace and time are very deeply intimate with each other. Why did that sound so weird? They're very deeply in relation to one another. Grace didn't hit me like a lightning bolt and suddenly I was more soft with myself and taking better care of myself. It took time. It took softness that came slowly. It took awareness. It took, I think, even in the worst of it, when you're feeling at your depths, your lowest, it can be very easy to run away from our discomfort, specifically the discomfort we feel in our bodies or our minds or our spirits when we just are done and we are pouring ourselves outward and feeling so empty inward. I don't want to use the term like dissociate because it wasn't like too intense or anything, but I definitely went through long periods of time where I just disconnected from myself and disconnected from a lot of the things like taking care of myself, and I was just barely getting by. And I didn't want to hold space for the awareness that came with that. Like, I didn't want to sit and be in that, why am I not washing my face at night? Why, when I would get into bed, I would feel guilt. I'd be like, oh, I should get up and wash my face right now. I should take off my makeup. I should rub lotion all over my body. I should put on nice PJs, not these crummy, gross PJs. Like, I should be taking better care of myself. And I would just guilt trip myself and still not get up and do it. Like, being mean or being hard on myself or being like, God, you should be doing better, that didn't work. That wasn't helping me. In fact, it just continued to push me down, 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 down. Okay, let's just bring awareness to it. We're still gonna make this choice. We're still gonna go to bed and not take our makeup off. We're still not gonna put a nice glass of water or pick the nice PJs, but we're just gonna be with ourselves while we choose the choices we're choosing. That sounded funny. And it's almost like, oh God, it's like a friend being there for you when you can just acknowledge it without needing to change it. Just acknowledge the way that you're feeling, acknowledge the heaviness, acknowledge the hard, acknowledge the discomfort without needing to reframe it, change it, do better, whatever. It's not, I should be, it's, this is where I'm at. Okay, now let's just go to bed. We'll wash our face in the morning. It's not that big of a deal. Like, there will be better times. It's not that big of a deal. I just want to bring awareness to it, because what that does is the awareness without judgment gives you the space in between to start making little nudges in different directions. It breaks you out of the freeze-like state that you might be stuck in, depending on how you react to like anxiety or stress or depletion. It breaks you out of the mold that you're just kind of perpetuating and repeating. And it allows you to start almost showing up for yourself like a friend or a loved one, where it's like, okay, I'm gonna get to bed a little bit earlier, and I'm not gonna wash my whole face, but I'm just gonna take some like cotton pads, and I'm just gonna do the eye makeup remover, and just small little steps. Like, that's, I think, what grace looks like. Grace is meeting yourself where you're at without feeling like you have to change or be better or do better, or without blaming yourself, and instead just coming to yourself with understanding for why you might be feeling the way you do. It's okay to feel the way you do, and it's okay to acknowledge what's causing it. Like, you might need to, I think I said this earlier in the episode, hire your village. You might need more help, and it sucks when that help isn't readily available or built into your family like it used to be in previous generations. It sucks to have to pay for those resources. No matter who you are or what you do for a living, you cannot give and give and give and expect yourself to stand and stay afloat. Like, you will sink. There is always an untapped resource of energy that all of us hold. It's the source of all of us. It's what pounds through our hearts and our bodies and our minds. And, you know, it's the energy we feel when we are glowing, when we are joyful, when we are inspired by life, when we are excited. There's so much energy that comes from that. And it's not from food, and it's not from healthy habits, although those things definitely help foster more energy. But there is a type of spirit, and I'm not talking spiritual or spirituality, although it definitely can be connected to those things based on what you believe in. There is a type of spirit that can course through you and course through your veins that can make you feel alive in your life. And when we're disconnected from it, it's usually because we are so depleted. And the first little inkling of getting it back is meeting yourself where you're at, because that's where you are connecting to your spirit and understanding, oh, I see you, spirit. I understand why you're feeling the way you do. I understand why you're not connected to me right now, why I don't feel it, why I don't feel connected to my life, why I don't feel inspired by life or enjoying life or whatever it is. And then those little bits and little baby steps start to compound, where you start making new choices or trying new things or outsourcing help and giving a little bit of life back to yourself, a little bit of time, a little bit of rest, a little bit of energy, a little bit of care back to yourself. And then you slowly find yourself gracefully climbing out of that place. But it takes time. It does take time, and there will be different seasons of life. So just be kind to yourself. I know that's not the answer that people want to hear. It's never the answer I want to hear either, because when you're in it, all you want is to feel better. All you want is that spirit that I was just talking about, where you're just like full of joy and you're infused by life and you have an untapped energy that's just like fueling you, you know? We all want that. And so we all want, especially in this generation, the quick fix to it. We want that fast answer. We want that flip the switch and you're suddenly feeling better. But it's fun to think that we can get it that quickly. There are very rare times where we do, but for the most part, the reality of life is that it actually does take time, and it takes softness and grace and slowness. And when you do come out on the other side, because you will feel the opposite depth. Like from that depth, you'll feel a high because of that depth. Does that make sense? Like because you were feeling so low, when you do start to feel better, not that you want to live life way up there either. It's nice to kind of float and chill somewhere in the middle, but we go up and down in life, and that's normal. But because of how low you're feeling, you will feel great heights again too. And as much as it can suck to be in the low spots of life, the high spots of life and even the neutrality of life makes it worth it. It gives your life a dynamic to your life that makes it full, even though the balance and duality of it sometimes means you feel the lowest lows. You're also going to learn the most from those times. You're going to find yourself the most deeply in those times. You're going to bring the softness and the grace to yourself in those times. And that is what builds those muscles, those spiritual muscles, or those, what's the other word too? God, words just don't click in my brain anymore. The type of like internal endurance that it takes to be able to make it through the tough times of life. You know, some people can just crumble and fall apart. You're better equipped to deal with it the next time. And you're more connected to yourself, and you are able to feel better than you ever felt before. So at least that's my take. And if anybody related to that question, or if you were the person that wrote in that question, I do hope you are feeling better. I know that these inputs were sent to me in March, and we are now halfway through April. So I'm really hoping you're not still there, or that you are slowly already melting out of it since time has passed. And other than that, if you guys have anything you want to add to the questions that were sent in today, or just in general, as always, you can head on over to the Kaylin's Coffee Talk YouTube and leave your thoughts in the comment section. Or if you're already here, please, please do. I never ever do this. I know I should. It just always feels weird to like ask anything of anyone listening, but it really does help me out when you rate the podcast or like the video or let me know like if there's anything that I can do differently that might make the episodes more enjoyable. Anything of that nature, definitely let me know. And outside of that, I am cheersing you guys the rest of my matcha. I hope you guys have an amazing rest of your day or your evening, and I will chat with all of you guys over the next cup. Bye, everyone.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.